Well, I want to welcome you again this week to these lessons as we keep recoding our brain and renewing the mind to the point we begin to think like Jesus. And I'm just going to say right now, if you did not hear last week's lesson, the title on it is Producing Thought Trees. I know that sounds strange, producing thought trees. You need to stop this video right now. Go back and listen to that one, and then come back. Now, for those of you that did listen to it, I want to start us off where we kind of ended last week. Science is catching up with the Bible, and they now know through studies of neuroplasty and working with people that have had severe brain injuries, and I'm talking about the 3.5-pound gray matter physical brain, you know, they have found that the brain is not really static. And they used to think if you had, you know, damage in one area that you just lost that function forever. But what they found out, the brain is not static like that. God has built into it what they have called plasticity, neuroplasticity. And other parts of the brain can very often compensate, sometimes fully or at least partially, those areas. So the brain is a fluid thing, and it's changing and evolving your whole life. The other thing where science is catching up, you know, the Bible has said forever, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. As you really think, not what you might say to the company, not what you might say in church when you're trying to look good, but as a man thinks in his heart, the real you, so is he. That's you. Well, thoughts. And here's the thing. God has given us free will to choose our thoughts. And we went over this last week in Philippians chapter 4, and I'm not going to quote the verse again. But basically, Paul says, listen, he says, you want to have the peace of God rule in your heart? Well, don't we all want that? You know, I mean, Jesus, even when the disciple, you know, remember the storm and they're going across and these professional fishermen that have worked on that sea their whole life, that Sea of Galilee, I mean, you know, they have a lifetime of experience. And even they thought they were going down, man, this is it. This is the end. Of course, the devil's always trying to send circumstances, trying to get you to think, this is it, we're going down. Was Jesus concerned? No. Was he worried? Not in the least. Where was he? Oh, he's asleep on the pillow. They wake him up, you know. Master, master. We got to think like Jesus. There's a perfect example of how humans think and how Jesus thinks, even in the midst of the most dire circumstances where it looks like life and death, Jesus is full of peace. And then he asked them, why are you so fearful? Because of the circumstances. And Jesus is thinking, but because of the word, why are you so fearful? Because of God, where is your faith? Okay. So if we're going to think like Jesus, we're going to think like him right in the midst of your circumstances, right in the midst of it. And so that's what Paul was saying in Philippians chapter 4. And I didn't look it up for you. I could, but you can look it up. He says, think on things that are true and just and lovely and pure. And if there be any virtue and if there be any praise and if there be a good report, think on these things and the God of peace shall be with you. And I always like to add right there, and if you don't, he won't be. But see, it's a choice. And so many of us think we've been boondoggled and brainwashed to think, well, I can't help it. You know, I'm just a worrier. My parents were worriers and they taught me to be worriers, and I just can't help how I think. That is a lie from the pit of hell. Your first thing you got to change is change that thinking because it's real clear. Paul would not make that statement, think on these things, if you did not have the power, the ability to choose what you think on. Now, last week and last week's lesson, and again, I'm not even going to try and, to me, last week, the Holy Spirit did really good. Now, I'm just the vessel, but he did really good about explaining these thought trees, and science is catching up. Now they have learned what you choose to think on, especially when it's a new thought, something new, even like learning a new language. It's really the same way you learned your ABCs, or you learned your multiplication tables, or you learn how to read and write. What you think on, what you choose to think on, creates neural pathways in your brain. And it's a physical thing. And it and so now science has caught up. The technology, I'm going to show you this picture again. They have caught up. They're able to actually take a snapshot, somehow these brain scans, and they're able to take a picture of these proteins that are the end result of your thoughts. They represent these neural pathways. As a man thinketh in his heart, check it out. Look at this. That's a picture of the thoughts in a gray matter brain. Don't they look like trees? And I've been on an assignment from the Lord to couple my theology with my engineering training and studying some books on neurology and neuroplasticity so I can understand these things so I can teach on it. And this is a picture in one of those books, and I hope I don't get in trouble, but I don't know what else to do. As soon as I saw that, the Holy Spirit began running a Rolodex of all these verses through me where Jesus in the New Testament would talk about us being like trees. Make the tree good, make the tree evil. It's either a bad tree producing bad fruit, or it's a good tree producing good fruit. You reckon he knew how this worked? You reckon he knew that our thoughts are very much like trees that get established in us, and we're going to eat the fruit of that tree, whether it's good or bad? What are you thinking on? You're going to eat the fruit of it. And that's why he's saying, make the tree good, make the tree bad. Then he says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. It's been in there forever. And then finally I understood what James was talking about when he says, unless you learn, unless you bridle your tongue, your religion is in vain. Because every time you speak something, you're like recoding your brain again. You're inputting, speaking. Repetition is one of the main tools to recode the brain. Now, it's not rocket science to understand that. How did you learn your ABCs? Over and over and over again. Sometimes you'd say it, sometimes the teacher, let's say our ABCs again. And in the beginning, what'd you do? You learned a little jingle, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. And every time, recode, strengthen that neural path. What came after D? Oh yeah, E, F, G. And eventually though, it became you. You don't have to think about it anymore. It's you. Same with your multiplication tables. Well, with some of you. Same with your language, the way you can read and write and understand. Recoding the brain. And this whole thing, he started it off saying, believing is an actual recoding of the mind. He said it is a biological thing. And the establishment, it's getting rid of old neural pathways and the establishing of new neural pathways, which is exactly 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, where he talks about casting down all these, tearing down strongholds, casting down all these imaginations, casting down all of these thoughts that, come against the knowledge of God, and then bringing every thought into the obedience of Christ. Well, that's think like Jesus. What does Jesus say? What does the word say? Okay, before I get away from the trees, one more. Dave would love to teach on this passage. If you want to look it up again, it's Psalms 1, or at the beginning here. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. So he's not been thinking from the world. He's not going to walk in the counsel of the world. He's going to, I reject that. I cast down those thoughts. I cast down those imaginations. All right. He's not going to walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Nope. Not going to stand there at that bar and drink with you. Nope. I'm not going to stand in the way of sinners. nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Well, the scornful are the ones that make fun of the word of God. And like we mentioned a few weeks ago, and I'm not against Bill Maher, I'm praying for Bill Maher. But, you know, they were somehow the discussion came up with one of his guests about the Bible. And he said, well, he said, but the Bible is just, you know, it's just full of foolishness, you know, things that just aren't true. I'm not wording it exactly like he said it, but that's really what the point. It's just foolishness. Well, instantly you think of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, where it says the things of God are foolishness to the natural man. Well, Bill Maher's not born again yet. And so right now, these things, and like the axe head that floated that we've talked about already, they're foolishness. See? So Dave would read this and he'd say, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. We're not going to make fun of the word of God. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Now remember, in the when David wrote this, that's all he had was the law and you know, some prophets. His delight is in the law of the Lord and in his law. Today we would say in his word, does he meditate day and night? And what does the Holy Spirit inspire King David to say about that? What happens to that man? Oh, he'll be like a tree. I can't help it. I love it so much. He'll be like a tree. His thinking will produce the fruit that comes from the word of God. It is so simple. You get to choose what you think on. Choose what you think on. Well, he'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, see? And that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. Now, what does that mean? It doesn't matter the season. It's fall, winter, drought, doesn't matter. Your leaf's not going to wither. Your fruit's going to come forth. And get this, the end result, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I'm sorry, I got to leave now and go. I'm just going to go think on the word of God. I'm going to go meditate on the word of God. I don't know about you. I am excited. I am excited about this. This is, I'm telling you. Now this week, the reason he's not letting me use a lot of notes, at least to start, he reminded me as a teacher now, I can't go past here without encouraging you to do something different than you've done in the past. If in any of these series, if it doesn't change what you do, then you're going to keep eating the same fruit because you're going to have the same trees you've always had. Okay, he said that better than I could have. That's almost prophecy right there. If you don't change what you're doing to grow different thought trees, here I come again. I better keep that handy. If you don't plant some different seeds to get different trees, isn't it obvious you're going to keep eating the same fruit that you've been eating? Well, how do you like it? Well, some areas I like it. I mean, he had me plant some prosperity trees years ago. I've told you about that. And walking the floor, I didn't know anything then about godly hope. You know, I'm just gutting it out. I'm bam, bam with that sledgehammer, the word of God. But even that worked. You got to get it. We have been eating the fruit from that experience for over 30 years of ministry now, and we're still eating the fruit of it. You can't beat it out of me with rifle butts. He provides. My God shall supply all of our need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I know the grace of my Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for Gary's sake, for our sake, he became poor, that we, through his poverty, might be rich. The young lions, I mean, there's drought sometimes, and even a young lion in his prime. Have you ever seen a young lion in his prime? Those teeth, those jaws, those muscular arms. I mean, there's nothing more able to provide for itself than a young lion. But see, if drought comes or a fire comes, and there's no, even a young lion might hunger and go without, suffer lack. But those that seek the Lord shall not lack, shall not want, shall not lack any good thing. And I'm telling you, I grew me some trees. I planted seed. I planted seed. I watered it with a lot of tongues. I planted seed. And one day, I'm telling you, they came to maturity. The harvest came, and we've been eating the fruit off of that tree for over 30 years. Those trees for over 30 years. You came too late to tell me this doesn't work. Now, he's given me more understanding of it, and I'm doing my best to try and pass that understanding on to you. But dear heart, sweetie, sir, whoever's listening, if you don't do something to change, if you don't plant some new trees, you're going to keep eating the fruit off of the trees that are already in your thinking now. Well, how do I plant new trees? Well, one way you can do it is start speaking the word of God. You know, we had a lesson, 2 weeks ago, speak words, speak words. Way back in 1986 and 87, when he first began training me and tutoring me and teaching me along these lines, he told me then, speak words, my son, speak words. And he talked about, fill the reservoir within you, that your heart, fill yourself with my word. And he gave me the analogy, like, you know, when they build a new dam, you know, they're going to make a new lake. And so they build a dam. Well, at first, you know, behind that dam, this newly constructed dam, there's no lake. There's a river or something. There's a water source. But you build this dam. Well, somewhere in the dam, somewhere maybe halfway or more up, are turbines in there. And those turbines is what produces the power, right? But the water level is so low, you open the gates, there's nothing, because the water level, you've not filled the reservoir with the water. And that is the problem with most of us. We have not meditated day and night. Okay? We've not meditated. See, part of meditation is speaking. And gosh, if we get over into Joshua, he told him to meditate, you know, let not this word depart out of your mouth. Speaking God's word is part of meditation day and night, even if you just mutter it or just say it. But just, and now I understand why that's a, even in just a, even in the Old Testament, I keep using, I hope I'm not distracting you. I better put my hand down here. Even under the Old Testament, where they did not have a born again spirit, okay, they could recode their brain with the word of God. Now, that's exactly what they were doing. And that's why he told Joshua, he says, no, don't let this word depart out of your what? Out of your mouth. You know, say it, say it, say it, say it, Joshua. Say it. What are you doing? You're recoding the brain. I didn't understand that terminology then. I didn't understand about thought trees. See, this works. These thought trees are produced in the natural brain. I mean, we'll get into more of that later. He's already showed me so many ways, so many places. Well, I can just, here, let me just give you this much. In the Hall of Faith, not one of those people, okay, we're talking about, what, I'm probably Abraham, Moses, Noah, Samson, you know, all the people that it lists there, okay? All these heroes, Sarah, let's get some women in there, okay? All of these people listed in that Hall of Faith, not one of them was born again. Not one. But they had faith. You can't have faith without a born-again spirit, bet me. What did they do? They recoded their brain to the point they believed what God said. They believed what God said. Without a born-again spirit? Yes, without a born-again spirit. The man at Lystra, okay, I'm not going to, since he's not letting me use the notes, he's the note provider today. Remember the man at Lystra that we've already taught about a few weeks ago? He was crippled from his mother's womb. Now, see, that's a birth defect. When you first start going out in ministry and praying for the sick, you know, you're not accustomed to this, and you know, you're still growing yourself, and your faith level is coming up, you know, but you're hoping, oh God, just let them have headaches today, you know, nothing major, you know. Well, here comes a guy, about as major as you can get, crippled in both of his feet, has never walked, crippled from his mother's womb. Today, we would just say birth defect. I don't know whether he had club feet, what the problem was, but I'm sure his legs just looked like little bird legs. You know, the guy's never walked. Muscle atrophy. And it just says Paul preached the gospel. What gospel? The gospel of the kingdom. What's that? Repent ye. Repent. For the kingdom of God is at hand. It is available to you. There's a new king called Jesus, and he is Lord of all. And he has come to deliver you from whatever the devil's done to you. And so whatever Paul preached, it says Paul preached the gospel. What I don't mean whatever. I know he preached the gospel, but the exact content is not given to us. But it had to include healing, because here's this guy he grew up Lystra. They worshiped Jupiter and Mercury. They had idols, you know. He'd never heard the name of Jesus probably in his whole life. But here he's listening. This man's not born again. He's listening to Paul preach the gospel. He's hearing. How does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Paul's preaching the word of God. He's hearing the word of God. And faith is coming into him. And finally, the Holy Spirit gives Paul discernment. And it says that, you know, that man right there, that guy with the bird legs, he has faith to be healed. And at that point, then Paul uses the sword of the Spirit, which is speaking in the name, commanding, you stand upright on your feet. And he leaped and walked. And I mean, pandemonium broke out, because everybody in that town knew him. He'd been living there his whole life. Everybody knew this guy. And all of a sudden, he's leaping and walking. He's not born again yet. Faith. It's exactly what the Holy Spirit told me. I'm telling you, he said, believing is a biological thing. It is the removing of old neural pathways, and it is the establishing of new neural pathways. Well, faith without works is dead. So if you've been hearing these lessons, the lesson today is, well, what are you going to do to change? Now, I'll just, okay, he's always, you know, has me be pretty transparent. One thing I always appreciated about Pastor Dave, he didn't teach us things that he would not do himself. Alan Taylor tells this story. We had when he first moved here, and some other young men had moved here from Tennessee also with him. And they'd always notice, and they had committed, they're going to go to the church early before work, you know, get a job, lazy man. That's one of Dave's favorite messages. So the young men had jobs, but they noticed he'd drive by the prayer center. He'd always see Dave's pickup parked out there, meaning he's already in his office praying. So they started going, well, let's go pray early, you know, so before work. So I don't know what time they first started. Alan can tell it better than me. I'm just going to pick a number. Let's say 7 o'clock. And we're going to pray, you know, an hour before we go to work. So they get there and, Dave's pickup's already there. He's already in there praying. Oh, okay. In his office. So they would go in the foyer or in the auditorium and pray, you know. They said, well, let's get here a little early. We're going to get here earlier than Dave, okay? So then they tried 6:30. Dave was already there. Then the next time, let's try 6 o'clock. Dave was already there. 5:30. Dave doesn't live at the church. Dave lived, half a mile, I don't know, 3.5 miles away from the church. I mean, so he's already up, showered and shaved and, you know, whatever, you know, and already got in his truck, drove to the prayer center. He's already there. 5:30. Let's try 5 o'clock. And they go, we don't know what time the man gets here. But the point I'm making, Dave didn't tell us to do things that he didn't do. The word of God, you can just talk with the man and know he has meditated the word of God like crazy. It's amazing. Now, he might not tell you the exact chapter and verse. Boy, he could tell you the content of Isaiah, Daniel, Jude, Ephesians. You just pick one. Boy, the content would flow. He had meditated the word of God. So we knew he did. We knew he prayed. We knew he meditated the word of God. And Dave wouldn't brag about him fasting, but listen, when you attend the prayer center and you see the man 2 or 3 times a week, and 1 month he's this big, and the next month he's this big, you know what's going on. He's fasting, getting smaller and smaller. And the point is, he would do what he would teach. Well, I try and do that same thing. So I'm just going to go ahead and be somewhat transparent. There's no... And again, what The circumstances, listen, Dave says you're either in a trial, coming out of a trial, or going into your next trial. 10 years ago, I would be talking about different circumstances in our life than what I'm talking about now. You know, there was a time way back when our circumstances, our biggest one, was our wayward children who all teenagers at the same time and all decided to rebel at the same time. So that was the circumstances that we were growing in, that we still had to mature and apply the word of God. Sure enough, he saved and filled all of our children. They're all serving God. Okay. Then before that really was the prosperity thing where I had to recode my brain on that. We recoded it. See, I didn't call it that then, but looking back on it now, that's exactly what I did. So anyway, so we're facing some circumstances today. I'm not going to go into detail because it doesn't matter what they are. The Word of God has the answer for every circumstance that is possible by the devil. There's nothing new under the sun. I don't care what circumstances you're facing. It could be health, could be finances, could be wayward children, could be wayward husband, could be wayward wife, could be wayward you. There is plenty of scripture to cover your case. Now, we're facing some pretty serious circumstances right now. I'll just go ahead and tell you, they regard our health, okay? What are you going to do about that, Gary? Because right now, you're eating the fruit from the trees that exist in you. And I'm telling you, when you're facing health issues, sometimes when pain is involved, I'll just tell you right now, pain is a relentless preacher. You know, you spend some time worshiping God and praying in tongues and I mean, even meditating, doing it correctly, meditating on healing scriptures and maybe spend 30 minutes doing nothing but just speaking healing scriptures and, you know, and employing godly hope where you're seeing yourself and all of that well and walking good and everything. And then when you stand, in my case, I'll just use me, when I stand up, this stabbing pain, you know, right at the bottom, you know, with a curve in your back. I don't know which lumbar that is, but right there, it's like somebody takes a hot knife and just sticks it. And in order to relieve the pain, I hunch over because there is a position where it's tolerable at least, where I can at least, it doesn't go away, not really ever, but it's lessened to where I can function and I can walk, you know, go to the kitchen, do whatever I need to do, go to the car. And that nowadays I'm using a cane. If you saw me, I'm not embarrassed. This is how, hey, there are different circumstances. We could talk about my wayward children circumstances. Thank God he took care of that. I could talk about the early days when provision circumstances, he took care of that. The Word of God took care of that. He's going to take care of this one too. So Sue is facing some issues. There's no point in me going into detail what it is, but it's serious, you know. Well, pain is a relentless preacher. And if you don't do something to counteract and overcome that fact is going to get you believing its truth when it's really not. It's a fact. Truth, what did Jesus say? He didn't say, I have the truth. I am the truth. See, here's that I am again. Moses says, who shall I say sent me? You tell them in the King James, I am that I am. But in the Hebrew, it just, from what I can see, it just says, you tell them I am. You don't feel that? Oh, thank you, Lord. You tell them, I am sent you. And I'm going to do it again. The Popeye confessions. I am that I am. Is your I am, and he am whatever you say he am. If you say he am your healer, he am your healer. I am has come to be your healer. It's bad grammar, but it gets the point across. The great I am is I am to whatever it is you need. God, oh man. So what are you doing, Gary? I've got confessions. And listen, there's no magic ones. It's not like, oh, if I only knew those three verses. I'll do it again. You have a battery pack that never runs empty. It's just like it's very much like the battery pack, you know, that you might carry with you to charge up your cell phone. You know, you got an extra battery thing. I've got one of those when I travel, and I'm getting low. My cell phone, it's getting low. Well, what do? You engage the battery pack. If I don't engage the battery pack, now it's sitting there full of power. It's got what I need. But if I don't make the connection, the power stays in the battery pack. If we don't make the connection with the Word of God, the power stays in the Word. You got to get it to flow into you. And it come, you know, Jesus used the analogy of a seed. He uses this analogy of letting it grow up to become a full mature plant. I really like trees, though, especially since I saw that image. I'm going to show it to you again. That image, thoughts are trees. And that's where the fruit comes from. Oh, my God, it is so simple. I can't help it. It's so simple. And we have the choice what to think on. So I get up. I stand up. Pain preaches to me, you are not healed. Smack. I hit you with pain. Listen to me. I'm the best preacher that there's ever been. You are not healed. I come against that word of God and I tell you, you are not healed. Who do you think you are? You just crawl into a hole somewhere and die, you know? Maybe it's not quite that bad, but boy, it's a discourager and trying to get you to move away from the word of God. Well, what are you going to do? You're going to engage the battery pack. I don't know if I make that the title and not engage your battery pack. I've got a choice. See, that's there's no denying I'm eating the fruit from the pain tree. Can I say it that way? That pain tree is there and I'm eating the fruit of it. I said truth. I should have said fact. It is a fact that there is pain preaching to me and I'm eating the fruit of that. All right. What am I going to do to change it? I'm going to make a connection with my battery pack, which is the Word of God. And I've already done it. I've got like at least, I've got more than three. I got about five verses this time. And I'm just taking time. This time I'm not just saying them like I used to. I am saying them. But I'm giving that time to focus on seeing myself walking straight and true, walking like a man should walk, and pain free. So there's no magic three verses. Every word of God is full of power. You can get healing out of the big gats, I'm sure. I know there's power in the big gats. There's no word of God that's void of power. That's really what that angel said to Mary. You know, he's no word of God is void of power. Whew. Every verse has the power to manifest in your life. But one way that you start, see, pain is relentless to encode your brain. It's hard not to have that thought. Stab, thought, pain, ow. And right behind that is I'm not healed. That's the thought that comes. And if you don't do anything different, that thought's going to keep coming, may get worse too. Well, what are you going to do? I've got to tear down. See, all of that, that's thinking and thought patterns and imaginations, that's coming against the Word of God. These are the very things I have to cast down. All these imaginations. Okay, let's do it too. Normally I have these ahead of time, but he didn't allow me to do that today. So go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's look at verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now that stronghold, let's say it another way. That stronghold in you is the fruit of the tree of how you think. Okay? And it is based on circumstances, usually, how you start off. It's based on circumstances. So let's take Gary's thoughts when starting this process. Okay, I have a back problem. I even know the reason I have a back problem. I had polio when I was 5 years old, and over the years, it's given me trouble. So I have all this reasoning, see, all this logic in a lifetime, and it's just gotten worse over time. So I have all these reasonings and thinkings and all the logic of this world based on a carnal 3.5 pound brain that says, okay, that's why you have pain. Now, here's the problem with that. Jesus has a name that is above every name that is named. And whom the Son makes free is free indeed, not just free of sin, free of pain, because himself bore our sicknesses and carried our pain. And with his stripes, we were healed. Now see, that thinking, one of these two things is truth, you know, and one is only facts. And I'm telling you right now, truth changes facts. If I don't do anything different, then every time I stand up, like when I stand up out of the chair or do anything, this stabbing pain comes right through my lumbar. And I mean, it's a 10 scale of 1 to 10. It's a 10. It's like a hot knife. Bam. Okay. Fact. All right. But here's what I got. I didn't finish. That's a stronghold, and it's not called a weak hold. I mean, I've been living with this most of my life. It's just gotten worse over time. It's pretty strong. Okay, that pain, strong. But what do you do with it? You've got to cast down. It says casting down imaginations. That's got everything to do with what you see on the inside of you. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. This pain is telling me you're not healed. But the knowledge of God tells me by his stripes you were healed. And taking communion. Remember my body that was broken for you. Remember my blood that was shed for you. I remember Jesus. You already bore my sickness. You already bore my pain. You already took those stripes. And with your stripes, I am healed. So I've got these verses. I just spend about an hour right now. Just about an hour. I still spending most of my time praying in other tongues because of the blueprint, if you want to know the truth. And most of you know what I mean. The blueprint that came through Bronk Flint 2020. And we're still doing it. He hadn't changed his mind. I still spending most of my prayer time praying in tongues, but now I'm taking at least an hour. And I am doing I'm just speaking it out loud, speaking it out by... I have a confession sheet. I have it printed out. Got it right by my chair that I sit in my time with the Lord during the daytime. I just spend an hour over myself and over Sue. I've even got more confessions on Sue's page. And during that time, I'm giving my focus. See, that word imagination is not in there for no reason. Imagining is has everything to do with what you see. It's just like God dealt with Abraham, brought him out of the, you know, when you've got a lifetime of being married, and I'm sure they tried and tried, but him and his wife, they never could have a child, even when they were young and beautiful. And now, you know, so much time has gone by, he's not a hot rod anymore, and she's not ovulating anymore. God had to give them, and he gave them the vision when they, 24 years earlier, when they were younger, and said, come out of here. Stop looking at the natural, Abram. I know you and Sarah have never had a baby. That's not going to change what I'm doing. I'm going to use my supernatural power to bring my word, my vision for you to come to pass. Now listen, you got to see what I see and say what I say. So he brings him out of the tent and says, look at the stars of heaven. Your seed will number like that. Well, boy, now he's got something to imagine. Totally different than the natural imagining. See, I've got to do that same thing. When I'm confessing those scriptures, I've got to see Gary walking straight and tall and walking pain-free. I've got to see Sue healthy and vibrant. Both of us with sound minds, by the way, and with all of our memories intact and having access to every memory and being sharper. I don't believe in dementia. I believe in getting sharper. as you get older, you know, because you know God better. You got the mind of Christ now. We're supposed to get sharper, better as we get older. That's I'm seeing that, and I'm saying that, but now I'm going to focus on me. I got to focus on my back, you see. Now, I would love it if the very first hour, the very first day I did that, I get up out of the chair, and my facts have been molded to truth. My facts have been changed to where the truth is manifested. But that's normally not the case. It's normally not the case. I get up, stabbing pain. All right. Well, who's going to win this? I'm going to win it. Really, it's Christ in me is going to win it because he cannot lie. And he's already said, whatever you ask in my name, I'll do it. Well, I've already asked. And he said it twice. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Whatever you shall ask in my name, I will do it. The Anointed One is in me. Christ is in me. The Healer is in me. And the anointing of the Holy Ghost is present to manifest the Word, no different than when the Creator said, light be, and then the Holy Spirit moved and light was. Well, the Creator's in me now. The Word, the living Word is in me. And when I say I am healed, the Holy Spirit moves and I am healed. But I don't see it the first time. Why not? Dendrites, neural pathways. I'm still establishing. I'm in the process of believing. So I've got my time set out. My phone will be off during that time. You can't call me during that time. Well, you can call me, but you won't reach me because I'll put it on do not disturb and you can leave a message and I'll call you back. But this is too important. Again, I'm going all the way back to some of the early day teachings. Listen, if you had a toothache and it was, oh man, you ever had a really bad one? I mean, maybe your jaw is swollen, you're having trouble talking and just throbbing pain. And, you know, you call the dentist because you want to be in there in 30 minutes, you know, and he says, we can see you next Tuesday at 11 a.m. Oh, God, next Tuesday. I'm telling you, you will mark it on your calendar. You will encode that in your brain next Tuesday at that time. I'm going to be at the dentist, and I don't care if President Trump calls. I don't care if the Governor Stitt calls. I don't care who it is. They're not going to, because I have an appointment with someone who can help me. And nobody's going to keep me from that appointment. You've got to start getting that way with your prayer time, your times of confession, your time of intimacy with the Holy Spirit. You have an appointment with the Creator of the universe. And whoever that is that's calling you is not as important as that time that you're going to spend with the Creator of the universe, by the way, who now lives in you. Shandai Mahandai, glory to God. Oh, man. What are you going to do different? I think this illustration, everybody has thought trees already. You're already eating the fruit from the trees that are mature on the inside of you, the thought patterns that are in you. It's just a matter of tearing down, let's read it again, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Now notice, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Make your thoughts agree with his thoughts. Grow new trees. Grow new thought trees. And eventually they have to come to maturity. That's part of it, why it doesn't happen the very first time. It's like a seed. Jesus told us it's like a seed. But if you just keep it in there, I'm going to say if you keep saying it and saying it and saying it, that tree gets more mature. Those neural pathways get thicker and stronger. And they'll come to maturity, and I know from the Word of God, you're going to eat the fruit eventually of some new trees. Gary's going to eat the fruit of a tree that says, by his stripes I am healed. And I mean healed. And that pain won't even be there anymore. Did you know Jesus still creates today? His Word is still alive today. He watches over his Word to perform it. He says, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. God has united him. The Word and man has become one. Man, I want to teach on this so bad, but he wouldn't let me. This is maybe, it's a ways off, but oh, he's been showing me some things it's not like I'd never heard them, but I never understood them before. And I've got to fully digest them before I can deliver them. But man, I can tell you this much. See, Adam, the first man, God gave, yes, sir. God gave man dominion over this earth. And boy, the Bible says he will not alter the thing that's gone out of his mouth. So when he gave man dominion, and in man, through raw disobedience, call it almost a traitor, because he knew what he was doing, he chose a lesser god. You know, Satan in the New Testament, Paul said he's called the god of this world, little g. But he knew what God had told him, but he subordinated himself. It caused a change in who he was. You know, he became sinful by nature, and we can't get into all that. God never withdrew that authority. He doesn't alter it just because Adam sold out I don't want to even say it that way. Just because Adam sold out, that's good enough. God didn't say, I'm taking that authority back. No, he gave it to man. Man's going to have it. But Adam can't enforce it. He can't make it work. The devil's running, you know, that's why everybody sins. Everybody. Nobody, the Bible's real clear. There's none righteous, no, not one. Nobody ever was able to fully keep the law except one, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. So God gave authority to man. He's not going to take that authority back. The only solution, there had to be a different man that had the authority. Who would be the good candidate for that? Ooh, how about Jesus? My son, Jesus. So God implants the Word, his son, in Mary. Mary, be it unto me according to your word. She delivers this son. When he comes to maturity, there comes a day when he is baptized in the Jordan River by John the Baptist. Even John didn't understand why. I'm sure Jesus did. Jesus is making again, I know I've taught this so many times, but it's so crucial. See, up until that day, Jesus lived righteous and holy by the new nature by the nature of God on the inside of him. But he didn't perform a single miracle not in his whole life up until that day. But when John lays him down in the water, that baptism is a type of death. It's a type of the grave. And Jesus is making a visual vow to the Father. I know why you sent me. I'm going all the way to the cross. I'm going all the way to death. God's looking on his heart, and he accepts that as a finished fact, just like an accomplished thing, even though he won't physically go to the cross for about another 3 years or so. God's looking, he said, I'm looking at his heart. I count this as done. And then when John raises Jesus up out of the water, that's a type of new life. That's a type of resurrection. And it's another visual vow that Jesus is putting his faith in the verse in the Psalms that says, you will not leave my soul in hell, neither shall my flesh see corruption. In the Jewish mind, corruption of the body sets in on the fourth day. So he knew he had to be resurrected before the fourth day, and he was resurrected on the third day. Now, that's why you hear God say, when he goes down in that grave, he's not dying for his sins. He didn't have any. He's dying in the place of the first Adam. He's dying as Adam. God, it's like a gavel comes down. God looks on his heart, counts it as done. Gavel comes down, judgment is rendered. The first Adam is dead. Ah, but now he's raised up. Gavel comes down. Here's a new man who's never sinned. I'm going to appoint him and give him dominion now, because I gave dominion of the earth to man. The first Adam, the first man that I gave it to is dead. Now I'm free to reappoint it to a new man. I gave it to man. Here, I'm going to give it to my son. And that's why you see the Holy Spirit coming on him on that day to enforce dominion. But there's one more thing that had to be accomplished. This last Adam had to overcome the devil where the first Adam failed. When the first Adam was tempted, he yielded to the temptation. The last Adam, 40 days. And if you read it in the Amplified, it says he was continuously tempted for all 40 days in the wilderness. This last Adam, he had to be victorious where the first Adam failed. 40 days he is tempted. Those three that are mentioned in your Bible, those are a summary of our Bible also says he was tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. 40 days. Those are a summary, spirit, soul, and body. I mean, and it's not a demon. It says Satan himself. I mean, it's a warfare, Son of God on earth in warfare with the devil through a man. Glory. God, there it is again. It's a Shaddai. Man, I want to take off. But he overcame. He overcame. God gave authority on this earth to man. Now there's a new man. It's the God-man, Jesus. And the Bible says he is the last Adam. There's not another one coming. He is the last Adam. And he regained, I won't even say it that way. He is the new man. He is the last Adam. And he has been given all dominion. He got dominion back for man. And that's why in his name, all things are possible. I've got so much more to teach on that we can't get into today. But I'm telling you, he's given us the name that is above every name. And that's how Peter, faith in that name, he said. He said, don't look at it when he healed that man that was crippled there at the gate, beautiful. He said, don't look on us. He said, it's that name, through faith in that name, that this man is perfectly whole. Well, one of my verses that I'm quoting is, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall, the name, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that the root of that word is sozo, I think it is, could be soteria. But anyway, the root word means saved in every way, not just born again, but healed, prospered, delivered, if you need deliverance. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, sozoed, healed, born again, delivered, rescued, everything. That's one of the, I'm calling upon your name, Lord. You said, whatever I ask in your name, you will do it. I thank you, Lord, that you're healing my body. I thank you, Lord, for the manifested healing. I call myself healed. I walk the floor and I quote these verses and then I speak to my body. He said, you got to speak to the mountain. Pain, I command you. I spend time doing it. Get out of my body. Same with Sue. Get out of Sue's body in Jesus' name. You spirit of infirmity, you go from this house. You leave this house. We bind you in Jesus' name, speaking it out loud. And if you was here, I wouldn't care. I'd speak it out loud in front of you. You're going to have to sit through my confession time if you're in my house. I'm in an appointment with the dentist. I'm in an appointment with the man who can help me. He is the man, our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ, and empowered by the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Man. Now, here we go again. I hear it again. I'm glad you enjoy the teachings. Can you tell I enjoy the teachings? I love what I do. Find your calling and do it. You'll love it. Whatever it is he's called you, you know, everyone has a place in the body. You find that and do it, it's going to be great. But what he's telling me, I'm hearing it again floating up. Yes, sir. I'm going to say it again. You are already right now eating the fruit of the thought trees that are already in you. How you liking it? Well, some parts of my life, Brother Gary, are pretty good. You know, some parts are pretty good. Boy, there's other parts not so good. I'm still bound to this. I'm still bound to that. I have this habit. Maybe my children aren't serving God. I've got health issues. I've got finances. Whatever it is. You're eating the fruit of the trees that are already mature in you. You've got to tear down those imaginations, those thought patterns that are producing those trees and replace them. Bring every thought into the obedience of Christ. You've got to replace them with with the Word of God. And listen, the Word of God is more powerful than anything. The name of Jesus is more powerful than anything. You can grow new thought trees. And when they come to maturity, now see, that's why the 21 days, we talked about this last week, no plant comes to, you know, I don't know, do you know any plant on earth where you plant the seed today and you reap the fruit tomorrow? There's no such thing as that. And God's telling us, Jesus said, no, you plant the seed, you water it, you rise and sleep day and night, it grows up, you don't know how, but eventually, that rascal's going to come to maturity if you keep it in there. And one of the ways you keep it in there is keep saying it and keep saying it and keep saying it. And that tree of the word, that tree of life will grow up and eventually it will start producing fruit. And yes, there's going to be circumstances are going to keep preaching at you. In my case, it's pain, but it could be lack. It could be the circumstances are going to scream at you that it's not working, but it is working. Every day, every day, every day. Remember that time he sent me out in my mother's backyard and take a lawn chair with you and enjoy watching the tree grow? Man, there's nothing more boring on earth than trying to watch that tree grow. It doesn't look like anything's happening. But for 30 years or so, that tree has been growing. And now, my goodness, you'd fall over backwards trying to look at the top of it. Take two or three of us, maybe three or four, to wrap our arms around that tree. It's so big. Didn't start that way. Started with a little thought, and that the tree didn't. How does our change come? Starts with a thought. But you got to reinforce that thought. Keep it in the ground. Keep saying it. Keep saying it. Keep seeing it. See it and say it. Now, right now, we're working on maybe issues in your life, you know, that you need. But eventually, this is going to switch to where he's starting to get through our life what he wants. Because he wants ministry. He wants his power not only to change our world, he wants power to change their world. And he wants to flow through you. This is Joel's army now. Eventually, those thought trees are going to become his thought trees to the point he's going to flow through us into others. And he already said it's going to be so natural to you, it'll be like taking your next breath. And you'll just look back at these days and laugh that you ever thought it was so hard. I hope you're doing something different. Get your verses, whatever it is in your life that needs to change. Then we're going to get some verses concerning ministry, what he said about flowing through you. I'm going to close with this. Remember now, see, yeah, but I'm just me. The least in the kingdom of God is greater than John the Baptist. And John the Baptist, he said, born of women, there has not arisen a greater than he, but he that's least, hello, least in the kingdom of God is greater than John. Why? Because you've been born of God. You have an inheritance that John could only dream about. Christ in you can not only change your circumstances, he can flow through you to change their circumstances. The best is yet to come. Stay tuned. See you again next week. Bye-bye. Love you so much.